Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. You can visit us online at kosherscene.wordpress.com. Tonight, our guest will be Esti Berkowitz from primetimeparenting.com. She should be calling us any moment, so we hope. Meanwhile, let me give you a little bit of background on primeparenting.com. As the headline on her blog says, Prime Parenting describes how she found kosher food, a husband, and her children after 35. It is an interesting blog that covers not just kosher foods. It has contests, giveaways, talks about her road to discovery, and reviews. Also talks about her philosophy of parenting. Esti Berkowitz is a very interesting person, and in fact, I see her on the line right now. Good evening, Esti.
Hi, Chaim. How are you doing tonight?
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. For a second, I thought you forgot about calling in.
No. I was trying to multitask over here, and I asked, what time is it? So here I am, thank God.
Okay, tell us a little bit about your journey to Frumkeit.
Yes, the journey. It was a really interesting journey that started more than 20 years ago on a trip to Israel that connected me with my heritage in a tangible sense, of course, going to Israel and seeing the people and the sites and Shabbat. But I came back to America, and I kind of just went along life as usual. And a few years later than that, I was working in corporate America in marketing, and I felt like I needed to do something to make my life more focused and have a little more Yiddishkeit in it. And on that trip, I actually experienced a really beautiful time and spot in Yerushalayim, and with that, the whole Shabbat experience, which I had never experienced before. And that included, that Thursday before, getting ready from, cooking the food, making the challah, getting the menu together, learning about all these great foods that I'd never known about before, or, menus and recipes. And that experience, from that getting your hands dirty, if you will, and making the challah, but getting them clean, really, and taking part in the final product, which is, sitting down to a beautiful meal with beautiful dishes and singing and the wine. And I said, I've been missing this. This is so amazing. So, that experience really drove me, and this is already, in my 30s, it drove me to a desire to switch gears and start keeping kosher and start keeping Shabbat.
Very good. So one thing I'm trying to understand, the headline of your blog says, how I found kosher food, a husband and had children after 35. Okay, you explain how you got to Shabbat. How did that affect your finding a husband?
Well, I feel like once that I actually, turned my Friday night into, getting together and having it meaningful and turning off all, phone calls and just focusing on like the situation, life and shutting down from all of the things that every week were just so involved with the emails and everything. My focus on everything, even getting married, changed for the better. And along with that,
Care to explain that?
Yes. Basically, I switched gears and I started in here in actually the Chicago area, going to West Rogers Park to some really nice families, and the ambiance was so inviting that I said, this is how I want my Friday and Saturday to be from now on. I'm not going to be driving. I'm not going to be doing all these other things. And then, of course, along with that, was tasting all these amazing kosher dishes that I didn't know from, because I thought, oh, it's matzah ball soup, it's schmaltz, it's like, you know, greasy, heavy stuff. You know, I didn't know that, like, you could go to a home and have a Chilean meal with ceviche, completely kosher, or go to another home and have an Italian feast, or have, like, a mock crab salad or sushi. So here I am saying, look, this is everything I love and more because it's kosher and it goes with this lifestyle. So believe it or not, you know, I was really making these changes, and it affected who I was dating also, because then I was more, you know, narrowing things down. I mean, my list was like 100. I hate to say it, but I had a lot of things that I was looking for. And once you go into the kosher world, thankfully, you get more choice. You know, it helps you be more selective. And then I just focusing on people like that, and that led me to finding my husband, who also, you know, started keeping kosher later in his life. And hence, you know, the title Prime Time, because we were in the prime time. You know, we weren't in our 20s when we decided to get married and meet each other. Here we are, you know, I was in my mid to late 30s and him in his early 40s. And, of course, we dated and we went to kosher restaurants. And our first date actually went and had kosher sushi. And it just, you know, for me, I don't know for everyone, but the reason why the blog really comes into play is because I felt there was, like, a niche of people who, like me, did this kind of, had this kind of experience in this path. And along with it is that when you decide to keep kosher and your family's not keeping kosher, or they did never decided to, or they won't, you need to be creative and you need to know how to, you know, keep them interested in your life. Or, you know, you need to just make a lot of decisions that you hadn't made before, as far as, you know, where are we going to eat, or how are we going to be together if you keep kosher and we don't?
Very good. Now tell us a little bit about your blog.
Yes, the blog. The blog
is... How you segued from all that into the blog.
Right. So, you know, as I said, like, I met my husband, and we were engaged after 3 months, and we were married 3 months after that. So, and...
Okay.
Thank God we had our first child within that year. So, you know, here I am with all these things going on, and I felt like I need to write about it, and I need to connect with other people who have also had this kind of Berlitz life change happen, you know, just so much in a short period of time. And we also, you know, primetime parenting is basically, you know, we had that child, and it was really such a blessing, but we didn't have our parents nearby. You know, we didn't have that built-in babysitting service, or, you know, somebody to be with us, or a home to move into with our parents while the baby was 3 months old. We were really on our own. So we had to do a lot of the research, as did our friends, which we found were in similar situations, you know, getting married later, but yet wanting to have children right away. And from that, we really had some really good content to build on, you know, everything from traveling when you're a family and you have children and you're kosher, you know, traveling as a kosher family, and even to buying what baby products, baby food that's kosher, on Passover. If your baby drinks formula, what are you going to do, you know? So it really gave us so much content, and it's, I actually started it after my third child was born, which, you know, 3 children in 4 years when you're already, you know, 39 years old, that's, it can add some years to your
life.
That's
quite a bit hectic, yes.
Yes. You know, so this was actually a very good outlet, and we had moved to a new neighborhood as well. You know, we had moved from Brookline, Massachusetts, which is a very lovely Jewish community, but I was missing New York so much because I had been in New York with all of the options, all of the food options, and for some reason, I went to Brookline, it wasn't the same. You know, I just needed to know that there were, like, lots of kosher options around, and thankfully, we were back in New York, and we ended up in a place where we can't even go to all the restaurants because there are so many. Little, but
right.
We also do not go so much because when you have small children, you make it more like a pizza night in than you take, you know, schlepping your children out to a pizza place because one of them may decide to have a meltdown, you know, out in public. So I actually wrote a piece recently about that. And, you know, with the blog, with my kosher angle, which I think, you know, it would be nice for me to express that it's primetime parenting, but within that you see the kosher in very large print because so many of my pieces are about topics that affect kosher. And kosher food, also like healthy food, how to feed your children, what to feed your children, the holidays. I mean, there's just so much content alone. And as you know, I mean, you go to all these restaurants and you're so connected in the community, but there's just so much content right there. So, again, like with this recent post I wrote about Bet's Boys Pizza, I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but I got to meet them, take a tour of their pizza factory, and actually experience and talk to moms and also to see how my children like the product. And it's just, it gives me so much content and to help other mothers when it's dinner time and what to do and not feel guilty about having pizza once in a while, which is not so bad. So it's actually, you know, can be very healthy. If you look at, you know,
as a matter of fact, it happens to be the healthiest junk food there is.
Yes.
If done properly, it's extremely healthy.
Right. You know, and it's their particular product actually was very good because I saw how they bake it actually and then freeze it. So when you go home and you make it, it just tastes really good. It's Pas Yisrael, actually. And, you know, of course, the cheeses are very natural and healthy. And so it was a really nice option. But that's just one area. You know, of course, feeding children, primetime parenting, again, in the kosher angle, you know, Chobani yogurt, Lifeway kefir, you know, making sure they have enough dairy in their diets. I've done a bunch of Twitter parties, which is another part of primetime parenting, where we focus on healthy kosher food options, which I feel like is really the wave of things and more things to come, where even Manischewitz, you know, of course, now they're putting on their labels, you know, healthy and no trans fats, no, you know, high fructose corn syrup. You know, the kosher brands are really trying to show that they're on the same wavelength with mainstream brands that are really putting this in the forefront. And, of course, the gluten-free is a very big one as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, do you have any anecdotes, interesting or funny ones, that happened during your journey to Funkite?
There are, like, many, many, many of them. I would say that, you know, when you are trying to not offend people who are trying to say, look, I went to the supermarket and I got you all these kosher hot dogs, and they happen not to be the hot dogs that are actually really kosher under certain heksherim, if you know what I mean. You really feel embarrassed in a way, and you don't want to hurt people's feelings. And I don't know if that's funny or just, you know, I'm looking for compassion because it puts you in a interesting place because, you know, the people you grew up with who are still eating the same way you always did, they don't always understand everything, and that's more of an uncomfortable antidote. But I think, like, which I wanted to share with you a little bit about where we are right now. We're actually in the Chicago area, and I stumbled upon three really great kosher options for people. Now, this, I want to tell you, West Rogers Park is really the hub of where the kosher Orthodox community is. Skokie, West Rogers Park, Peterson Park, and, of course, you had a son graduate, I believe, from what yeshiva was it? The
Kansas.
Yes, okay. So you said 20 years ago you had been here the last time.
Right.
But what's really great,
I had a couple of sons who graduated from Kansas.
Very nice. That's wonderful. You could be very proud of that. But I want to tell you that I'm staying more up north, so I'm not in the West Rogers Park or Skokie area. I'm actually about a half hour away from there, but in the last few years, and it seems like almost right after I started keeping kosher, the Jewel Food Store, which is one of the main grocery chains here in the Chicagoland area, opened up, I'm telling you, a mile from where my parents were living, a kosher deli. With
you mean to
milk.
Say there is actually opportunities for buying kosher and enjoying kosher outside of the Big Apple?
Believe it or not, this area, in fact, there's three places. I was, so I went to the Jewel, and I always go and I take a picture and I say, hi, I'm from New York. And everybody's always like, ooh, where, you know, because it's so cool to be from New York, believe it or not. But, you know, I take a picture and I see, you know, they have actually a Shabbat takeout menu, which is so nice to know, because if you're staying in a home that does not have, you know, kosher appliances or utensils, you know, you really are going to have to do that so you can have a meal with your whole family. So they have, hot dogs to knishes to kugels, and a whole nice section of actually of some Chinese food from Tain Li Chow, which is actually, there's a Jewel closer to West Rogers Park that actually has within the Jewel, I'm not kidding you, it's like a superstore, a Chinese takeout, you know, the kosher Chinese takeout, which we did once for Shabbos. It was incredible. They have a special Shabbos takeout menu. Now, another place here, which I want to tell people about, so I mentioned the Jewel Osco, which is in Highland Park, Illinois, and online they can find, go to jewelosco.com and look up Highland Park. I'm also going to write about this on my blog, Primetime Parenting, because I want people to know. Something else that we stumbled upon was Mizrahi Grill, which is mizrahigrill.com, and it's actually the grandparents are of Yemenite and Israeli descent, because I asked the brother of the owner today. I said, so what is this Moroccan food? Is it, you know, because, you know, Lavana Kirschbaum, you know, she's from Morocco, and have you heard of Nargila Grill? And he's like, no. I'm like, well, you have to read my blog. But he was so interested. He's like, well, my mother's Yemenite, and my father was in Israel before the British came. So was in Palestine. And he said his food, they call it Israeli food, you know, hummus, tahina, but yet they had a really amazing Yemenite chicken soup that I tried. I mean, I have to say, I was there 2 days in a row, but it was so delicious. And it's, you know who's eating there? Not just the Jewish, not just the kosher people, but people who are in nearby businesses having lunch. And they love it. You could sit outside in front and you get
a lunch. That is a true testament that the food must be very, very good.
It's
a guy will bother going to a kosher establishment,
right?
Even if it's nearby, we know it's got to be good.
It is really, really, really good. And I even took home their menu, which on the back they say this is made with the meat under the strictest kosher requirements and with no growth hormones. So right there, the kosher quality piece, which I'm all about, focusing on healthy and no growth hormones. And they said a lot of the spices used are very good for your health. You know, turmeric, what are some of the other ones? You know, so here they are putting this because they know the focus of people is actually we want to be healthy, we want sustainable things. And right here is this place, and it was just wonderful. Really enjoyed it. So I really want people to MizrahiGrill.com. You can go and check out what they have to offer. They also have catering, and it's fresh. They even have whole wheat pita and laffa. Really delicious. And the other place, which
made on premises?
Yes.
Very nice.
Delicious, really wonderful. And one other place that we actually ordered our Shabbat meal from last week was Garden Fresh. And that is actually in Northbrook. So, again, there's three places right here, not in the West Rogers Park hub, but, you know, 30 minutes north. And GardenFreshMarket.com. You can see they have a kosher corner there, which, again, is a takeout kosher market, and they have a Chef Sammy that you can call up and ask him to make something special. And they have a lot of products from Israel. I noticed they have their weekly flyer, which you can see what's on sale, and tons of Osem products, you know, and which I know you and I both had the opportunity to interview the president and CEO of Osem, and I see that, like, in these supermarkets, you know, there is a big connection with the Israelis who are doing a lot of the buying in Osem. You know, they really have a lot of that in the forefront. Of course, they had our friends Manischewitz there as well, their borscht products.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really lovely, and they have sushi there to go. Actually, you can get sushi at this Garden Fresh Market. Yes. It's really, really wonderful to have these options. And I love West Rogers Park, but it's not as convenient for me to go a half hour just to go grocery shopping. It's so nice to know. And I feel like a lot of this is because there is a Chabad on Central Avenue in Highland Park that's really, I think, influenced or helped make this more possible, you know, and a growing number of people keeping and going to the Chabad on Central Avenue, you know, but other people too. You know, I talked to a lady today, and she was her first time back to that Mizrahi Grill because I'm just so in love with it. She's like, I've never been here before. And I said, oh, that's interesting. She's like, but I grew up kosher, eating kosher food. I'm like, oh, wow, well, I think you'll just love it here. And she's like, yeah. She was just talking to the Mashgiach, you know, who was such a friendly person and talking about the different sets of dishes. You know, so people who are mainstream Jewish, you know, they get it. I think they like connecting through their food, which is something you and I, of course, know about when we've had our live radio shows with the amazing group of people who are out there bringing to the table, so to speak, their heritage from Italy, Persia, Syria, Morocco. This is it. This is food.
Right.
And I, you know, with Gil Marks and his book, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. So that's a little bit about what's going on up here in the Midwest and how people can really have a nice kosher food parade, if you will, even if they're not in the center of West Rogers Park.
Now, I have a question for you.
Yes.
In looking at your primetimeparenting.com, your blog, you do mention sometimes about the gluten-free. Now, I realize that it's mostly another blogger, but you want to explain a little bit about how it's possible for a family to enjoy going out and yet have gluten-free. How is it possible?
How is it possible? Well, it's possible if, for instance, I have a very close friend. She lives around the corner from me, and her daughter is, has to have gluten-free food. But they do go to places, and they just have to not order anything, you know, make sure that she reads the labels, the mother. I mean, they can have meat, but without the hamburger, bun, you know, rice, brown rice if they go to a Chinese restaurant. But, you know, you really just have to plan ahead and know what's doing. You know, they do have a pizza place in Kew Garden Hills called Shimon's, and they actually have a gluten-free pizza that they will make for people right there. So I think, you know, it is possible.
And does it taste similar to the real thing?
Yes. We've had it, too. It's very good. You know, on Pesach, they have really good pizza. It's kind of similar to that. I don't know. There's something about it. I mean, that potato starch it does wonders when it's baked the right way. But I feel like they do have a normal life. They just, when we go to them, everything's gluten-free. And when they come to us and everything is gluten-free. Oh, that would be, hold on just a second. That would be my six-year-old. Yes, let me
hear
you.
Yes, I can hear
it
in the background.
Yes, she's a doll. So, yeah, and the gluten-free thing, you know, there are a lot of bloggers out there like Haviva from Kvetching Editor, and she would be writing a lot about, you know, what am I going to eat on gluten-free, and it made me realize this is really something to talk about. Now, in the mainstream world, there's tons of gluten-free people. So we just had a conversation with Sloan Miller, who wrote a book called Allergic Girl. She's not a kosher, she doesn't keep kosher, but she did encounter a lot of kosher people in her investigation and writing of her book because of celiac disease is prevalent among Jewish people.
Right.
So I love that products mention gluten-free and they have the OU on it because it just bridges us together in a lot of ways.
Okay, what are some of the other subjects that you cover?
Some of the other subjects, yes. Actually, I cover travel with children. I've had the opportunity to visit different parks. For instance, I was able to go to Disney, and we tried out some of the kosher restaurants there, which was very fun. We went to Dutch Wonderland, which is in Pennsylvania, and they, of course, have the kosher kiosk there, which, of course, I believe is connected with the Hershey. Somehow, I believe the Hershey Park is nearby, but we didn't make it that far. I wish we could have. Other things that I've gotten through my, through this, what I've done, I've had, yes, I've had the opportunity to test drive the latest cars from Ford Motor Company, and talk about, you know, their using recycled plastics you know, talking about the economy and cars that aren't using as much fuel. I mean, just really great things like that. So I covered that. That was almost 2 years ago when I went on that, had a special tour of the Ford plant, and it was just great. That was a time when I should have brought my own kosher food because I was the only mom blogger there that could not eat anything because they didn't even think that somebody might be kosher, you know. So I remember this one girl was like, I felt so bad for you today, till to this day. I felt so bad for you. So I always have kosher food when I run my events now. So I said, oh, thank you so much. You know, she's like, you can eat anything. I said, oh, okay, I had a can of Coke, and that's I'm used to it. You know, I've gone to things where Bobby Flay has cooked with Hellman's mayonnaise, and, of course, you know, couldn't taste anything he ate, but, of course, Hellman's is kosher, and I said, hey, I'm going to take your recipes and kosherify them, and he liked that, so that was nice. So you can see there's food, there's a food element, there's a baby product element as well. I was able to check out the latest from the Baby Bjorn product line. They just came out with a new high chair with a nice price tag, but when I was there talking to them, you know, and it's about $299, but this is a slick chair. It will fold up, fit in your car. If you live in an apartment, it fits behind like a table or in a closet. But the thing that I pointed out that they didn't realize is that, you know, the trays do come off because I asked. I said, that's really good for kosher consumers. They're like, oh, we didn't even think about that. I'm like, sure. When it's Passover time, I go, can you buy these? You know, like if you want to have like three different. They're like, oh, we're going to look into like how you can do that. You know, so I
very
like
good.
To look at these. Yeah, I love to
so
go to
So you're also
design.
Into product development.
Exactly. I go and I think of, I put on, you know, I'm the kosher consumer. I'm the 24/6 blogger. I'm the blogger, like I went to Toy Fair and I got to see products. And I always want to look for the kosher friendly, I mean, the Shabbat friendly, no batteries included options. So, of course, Legos was a favorite booth of mine. And I tell them, I'm like, look, you know, Legos are very popular in the Shabbat communities. They're like, what does that mean? You know, I mean, a lot of these companies are not even aware of the market that they reach. You know, the unplugged 25-hour market, the, you know, Yom Toving, you know, 48-hour market that's, you know, not using devices or apps or iPhones and, you know, how blocks are just an amazing product for to see a three-year-old be engaged in building blocks when you know the cartoons aren't coming on for like another day, you know. So clothing, also products, you know, as far as, you know, of course food products, but products for like sunscreen, everything from a sunscreen product to a coffee maker, you know, or a seltzer machine. You know, these are great things. And of course, one interesting story is I did receive once a Tassimo, you know, fancy schmancy machine, but I couldn't use it because it wasn't OU. There, I couldn't find one of their coffee, they call them the C cups, that had a Hexture on it. And I called and called and called, and they said, sorry, they're, you know, we don't have a Hexture on it. So I never used it, but then I got a Keurig, and that was just such a great welcome because all of their C cups have a friendly OU on them. And so, you know, it's just really the blog, it goes in a lot of directions, but as you can see, I'm always that kosher Orthodox mom, you know, looking for the OU on everything, the battery alternatives on everything, the travel, always knowing that there's kosher food nearby. And, you know, recently we drove to from New York to Chicago, so, of course, we had our kosher cooler stocked. Our hefty igloo cooler that we don't leave home without, and we made sure we had what we needed, you know, our milk, stuff for the children, and we really can't leave home without it. But that's
very
kind of
good.
Yeah.
And we're out of time. Thank you very, very much for being with us. You are a superb guest. This was a very, very educational half hour.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure. We'll talk soon.
Be'ezrat Hashem.
Okay.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And be sure to tune us back in next Wednesday at 8 o'clock on the same station. Good night, and thank you very, very much.